You will turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The apostle here dealing with this church there in Corinth, there in Greece. And he's going to move on to another subject. All these subjects in order and issues and points in order. This is a chapter that begins this regarding the spiritual. I've titled this, along with chapter 11 and what we see here and how it is about there at the end where we need to take care of ourselves in regards of judging ourselves so the Lord doesn't get involved and the church doesn't get involved. We need to introspect. And so this subject also is an introspective type of thing for each of us. But the title that I would have for chapter 12 here is How to Live Spiritually. I remember as a child, there was much discussion about, well, what's the spiritual life? How do you live spiritually? I remember hearing about that. How is it that you live spiritually? Well, what I've found and what I've come to learn over the course of years and being saved and learning from the Lord and His Word and being blessed to learn a few things from the Lord. It's all from Him. We live spiritually by taking what the Lord has given to us in His Word and applying it in our day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute lives. To do things like Jesus would do. That's what living spiritually is. I think we have some indication and some things in this passage that will help us to understand that connection. As you live the rest of the day today, what is it that you want to do? Do you want to please your Lord? And do we want to please our Lord when we go to bed tonight? We seek to wake tomorrow morning. What is it that's our goal? What is it that's our desire? What is it that is our pursuit? Yes, and we have jobs. You have a school, those that are young and have school. We've got different things maybe that we've committed to. How is it that we live for our Lord in those things? Well, the Lord gives us instruction, and this is somewhat connected to that of relationships. Our Lord is always that third person in any relationship. Again, like, for example, the relationship that I have with Clarissa, my wife, the Lord instructs us both how we're to be in that relationship one to another. And so how to live spiritually or availing ourselves to the Spirit of God within. This is a message indeed to those who are saved. And if you're not saved, I don't tell you to block it out. But I would tell you to listen to what the children of God have and what the Lord does for His children. And we pray that you might be convicted about your need of the Lord too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1, now concerning spiritual, and notice their gifts is in italics in our King James translation. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And so he wants to wipe away the ignorance that may be concerning that which is spiritual. We can see if we go to verse number 31, the last verse of the chapter, we can see here that is the context, is this about gifts, okay? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So the writer's not willy-nilly, or the translator's not willy-nilly, added that word gifts in italics. It's not there in the original, but it is concerning spiritual gifts. This word spiritual is something that we need to know and understand about. When we're talking about, the scripture is talking about spiritual, it's talking about not carnal, okay? It's a good way to look at it. Not carnal. If it's spiritual, that means it's not carnal. That means it's not fleshly. It's not of this world. It's not of this earth, okay? Spiritual. That word also lends itself and speaks of the supernatural. And indeed, it is by a supernatural God that has saved us. And it is a supernatural thing that He has done to us. He's birthed us again. He's given His Spirit to live within. And not only does the scripture tell us that the Holy Spirit of God lives within us, he's given himself unto us. We've been adopted and made children, made sons. And yet in all that, our Lord Jesus lives within us. And he is our leader. He is our head, as we've seen in previous chapters. And so he is the one that works these things within his children and does this work. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, if we consider about that word spiritual, of course, we think about the Holy Spirit of God. And I think it would do us well to keep in mind these verses that we find in Ephesians chapter 4. Take a look over here. If you have your Bibles, otherwise listen. Listen to what the Lord says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Spirit of the Lord living within us is the sealing, the promise, the guarantee that we have of total, complete, and full salvation. Our souls are saved, and we are saved eternally, but our bodies are not saved yet. But one day they will be too. Okay, so our spirit has been made alive by the Spirit of God living within us. Our souls have been saved, our sins forgiven by the Spirit of God that has come in and given us life, the death of Jesus, his atonement, all those different aspects. And then one day our bodies will be saved, and that we'll have a body like Christ and have no more sin within us and contacting us whatsoever. But he says here, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God in the meantime. You know why we're told that? Because we're subject to do it. We're told not to grieve the Spirit of God. Now, what's grief mean? Well, we've got a handful of folks that we know of here in the community and otherwise that have lost loved ones that have passed on. They've died. They've gone on to the other side. And they are grieved in that they miss them. It is by the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us that we have fellowship with our Lord. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, that fellowship is broken. There's a breakdown. A parent whose heart is right is troubled by a relationship that's broken down between them and their child. We understand that. We understand how that can be. And so grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Spiritual gifts. Also this over here in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the apostle signing off to this church in Thessalonica, and he kind of does a rapid fire succession of things, and he says in verse number 19, quench not the Spirit. You know what it means to quench. When you're really, really thirsty, come July or August, and you get something to drink, it shuts down that thirst, doesn't it? That's what we say, it quenches the thirst. Maybe a better picture is that of those that work metal and they heat up the metal. They maybe even have it cherry red hot to accomplish the tempering or the hardening that they're going to do. And then they take that red hot metal you've seen. Maybe you've seen a farrier, one that shoes horses and would shape a horseshoe to fit the horse correctly. And then they put it in the water. They put it in the oil. And there's all that smoke or steam that's let off. It's not as hot as it was. It's cooled off. The liveliness of that heating that up. And as we understand a little bit about physics and how things are made up, the material, matter, how it's made up, the moving of those atoms with that addition of that heat, it's all slowed down. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit, children of God. So back in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you to be unknowledgeable in a state of no knowledge regarding these. When I mentioned we're talking about the spiritual, we're talking about the supernatural from God. We're talking about that which is not carnal. We're also, that word spiritual also lends itself and would be understood as regeneration, okay? Life from another. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Now remember in previous chapters, the brother has said, remember how it was that our fathers were under the cloud, all of our fathers. Isn't that something how this is namely a Gentile church, but he uses that reference regarding the children of Israel and how there is a connection between even the saints in this New Testament and church age to those that were called of the Lord in that day. And we've dealt with that. He said, you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols. The dumb, it's talking about being mute. No voice. The universalists, they have different idols that they worship and that they pay homage unto and all that. Not a one of those statues speak. Not a one. One day there will be an image unto the Antichrist that the false prophet will cause to speak. Isn't that something? And many are going to be deluded by that, deceived by that. But he said, consider about those dumb idols. And he says, even as you were led, the Gentiles, there's such a true thing that save for the grace and intervention of the Lord, we will just follow on in what we are taught and what we learn from the world and our parents caught up in the world. And I understand that there's many have experienced a blessing of having parents saved and such as that. But the natural tendency in this world is just for mankind just to continue on in the same old godless rut that they've been in for millennia. And so praise the Lord for saved parents. Praise the Lord for an influence in that way, for we who have been blessed with such. Wherefore I give you to understand, see those idols, there's no spirituality there. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. In the Greek here, this word is anathema. Anathema. He said, if a man has a spirit, if a woman has a spirit of God within, that they are not going to call Jesus accursed. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So here we have, it just funnels down right onto the focal point of all things spiritual. Is what do you think about Jesus? Where do you stand about Jesus? What does the Lord Jesus mean to you? Who is he? And why does he matter if he matters at all? So all things spiritual start and end, if you will, with Jesus. And so, and it's really something how it is. Maybe you've known folks this way. They claim to be, have you ever known someone that claims to be, I'll say, quote unquote, religious, be part of a religious organization, quote unquote, but then has nothing to good to say about the group to which they claim affiliation? Isn't that something? Why do people want to be a part of something that they want to run down? But that's the carnal way. That's the worldly way. But he says, understand this, no man speaking by the Spirit of God spiritually is going to be able to call Jesus accursed. We go over here to the end of this book over in chapter 16, and the brothers, he is signing off and wrapping up this book. He says this in verse number 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, he says there, let him be anathema, that is cursed, banned, accursed. Was it so that there was some here in the church at Corinth? Was there some here that were members of the church at Corinth, claimed to be the Lord's, but were running down and talking down the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord has led the brother to deal with the subject. Love for the Lord. Anathema, maranatha. This word maranatha speaks about our Lord will come or is coming. He's coming back. It's an exclamation of the approaching of the divine judgment of God. So this If a man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed, banned, and accursed, separated, and come on judgment of God, if that's where they stand and where they want to be. Of course, we look to being the ambassadors of the Lord, we look to persuade men otherwise and be a witness. Be reconciled unto God. Be reconciled unto God. Back in chapter 12, he says that no man, there in midst of verse number 3, no man, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit of God. It is by the Holy Spirit of God that we truly know that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he's King, King of kings and Lord of lords, that he's the Savior, and that he is the one to whom we worship, as we spoke about this morning, and that we serve, which we, Lord willing, will look to talk about and preach about in times to come. And so he lays this out here that this is all focused. This spirituality is all focused and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can be spiritual without having the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. No one can be spiritual by virtue of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ without having the Spirit of God living within. It just tells us, it makes it so very plain that this of salvation and being a part of the Lord's church, being a member of one of the Lord's churches, is not by reformation. It's not by reforming. It's not by turning over a new leaf. It's not by trying to do good things and live a good life. It's by salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said it. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. So he goes on to say here, spiritual gifts. He wants no ignorance to prevail. Now he says here, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit that is at work, if you will. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. In a nutshell, people are different. People are different. I want to bring in a verse, and I think it's appropriate to do so, over here in chapter 14. Chapter 14, speaking about tongues and prophesying and such as that. He makes mention here in verse number 32 in the midst of this, and that is the context of it, regarding prophesying and orderliness of such in the church. In verse number 32 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Directly, that means you and I can control ourselves. There's no place in the church for, when we take ourselves to this day, when there were those prophets that would tell, before the scripture was written down, they would foretell things that were necessary and needed to be known by the churches and such. It was the Lord's provision in that day. We don't need it today because we've got the scripture, the word of God. But when one brother would be speaking and telling what the Lord had given him to tell into the church, what he's given me doesn't trump what that man is telling the church right now, to where I can get in there and interrupt and say, hey, listen, this is a greater newsflash. This is more important. But I can control myself. And when that brother's done, as it's talking about here, and we'll get to it, then I can take my turn so everybody can hear and there not be confusion and madness and such as that. When we come back here to chapter 12, verse number 4, there are diversities of gifts. People are different. People are different. You and I are not the same. We all have the way we're made up, how the Lord has designed us and made us. We have our own personal history. We have the influences upon, we have characteristics from our parents and such as that. And we don't all need to be the same, okay? But we do all need to be obedient, okay? And we need to be amiable and comfortable in understanding that we all are different. And so that being the case with people, it is such that there would be diversities of gifts amongst the people. We're all different. We'll see about why that is here in a minute. It's the same Spirit that is working in all this difference of people, all this history, all this background, all the different baggage that we all have. The Lord's able to work in us, and He does. There's diversities of gifts with the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. Leadership, I believe, is what it's talking about. I am different than Brother Jones. And I and Brother Jones are different than Brother Harvey. And we all are different than Brother Folger and Brother Kittle and Brother York and all the different ones that have been here. We've got different characteristics, different hang-ups, different little things that may bug you. I'm sorry. Pray for me. That's the reason I need your prayers. But what's it say? But the same Lord. Same Lord. See, being spiritual, being filled with the Spirit and looking to operate in the Spirit gives us the ability to transcend and go above these things that might be subject to aggravate us or trouble us or hinder the work of the Lord. We're called to a higher calling than the nitpicking of the world. He says here, there are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations. We might do something one way and a church might do it another way. It doesn't mean that either one is wrong or right. May the Lord help us that we don't get in a situation that we think that our commandments and our way and our operation and our structure is the only way for anybody to do it. If we don't have the Word of God to hold ourselves to about a particular thing, may we not take what we do and hold it against somebody else? We've got some of that going on amongst churches. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. We need one another as Baptists, the sister churches. We need one another here in the church, and we need our sister churches. And there's a lot of strife that should not be. And the strife, what that strife does is it turns our attention away from what needs to be being done. May God help us that we not be involved with those kind of things, and we stand for what's right according to the Lord. So there's these diversities, these different diversities of gifts, differences of administrations. There's these diversities of operations, but God, the Lord, the Spirit is working within. Understand this. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, the manifestation, the Spirit of the Lord within us, in one sense, will manifest itself in one way. And I would say unto you, that way is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? We all need to be yielding the fruit of the Spirit. We all need to be adding to our faith those things that the Lord tells us in His Word. 2 Peter chapter 1. We all need to be manifesting the Spirit of God. That is a common thing. As one brother put it years ago, the fruit salad of the Spirit. We need to be manifesting those things. But the thing is, in particular, the Lord is working on you and you're growing. You are growing. We need to be growing. But the thing is the way the Lord has equipped you and gifted you might be different than somebody else. And the particulars of service in the church, see, our worship is kind of a lot the same to be the same, but our service might be different. Because the Lord, by these gifts that He gives, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation, the working out of our salvation may be different according to the gifts that we have. I wish I could play the piano like others, but I can't play the piano. I wish I could, but I can't. But you know what? Praise the Lord for those that we have that can. And that's a gift given to them, an example. That's a gift given to them by the Lord. And listen how it works with them. And I can use this for an example. If they want to be seen, I'm going to bring in Brother Doug's lessons in Sunday school, on the Sermon on the Mount. If they want to play to be seen and heard by men, they have their reward. But if they want to play for the glory and honor of the Lord, to the edification of the church and the praise and honor and glory of God, they have a blessing and reward of God. Isn't that something? Look at that. Look at what the Lord, look how good the Lord is. His economy, it's a wonder. He gives the gift, and in a sense, we use it and give it back to Him, and then He rewards. We'd never do it that way. We would absolutely never do it that way, but the Lord does. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? To profit withal. In chapter 14 and verse number 26, there's something that's mentioned here that I want to bring forward. And again, he's talking about tongues. He's talking about prophesying and such as that. He says in chapter 14, verse 26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm and a doctrine and hath a tongue and hath a revelation, hath an interpretation?" There's competition. There's one-upmanship going on, it seems like. He says, let all things be done unto edifying. All. We're to be builder up. That's what edifying means, building up. That's what we're to seek to be doing. Do you do your part of building up your church, Olmsted Baptist Church, where you're a member? Or do you and I tear down? Do we build up or do we tear down? We're to be edifiers. We're to be edifiers because remember, all this of spiritual gifts and all this of spirituality is what? Our Lord Jesus Christ rescued us and suffered and paid all that He paid that we might have life, that we might have a foundation, that we might have a future to His honor and His glory. He's done nothing but build us up. And that's what we need to be. We need to be like our Lord and seek to be builder-uppers. Now, sometimes with a parent, sometimes with a pastor, sometimes with an elder, I'm talking about somebody older than us. Sometimes in edification, there needs to be rebuke and reproof. There needs to be that we know that we must reprove and rebuke our children to guide them in the right way. So it's not talking about a cheery, smiley, everything's just going to be wonderful and great all the time to the flesh. Sometimes it gets ugly for the sake of guiding the right way, but it's all for the betterment of the future. The scripture, you know it. If you know anything about your Bible and what it says in Hebrews, the Lord chastises His own for their better. For their better. So building up. He says, that's what the manifestation, that's what the gifts given to you and I, given to you and me, are to be, is for profit. There are for our profit personally, therefore the profit of our brothers and sisters, and therefore the profit of the unsaved, that we can use these gifts to even minister unto them. Ephesians chapter 4, again, in verse number 12, I'm sorry, let me make sure I get the right, yeah, got the wrong chapter there. Leadership in the church in Ephesians chapter 4 has been given by the Lord a gift, that's what this passage is talking about, Ephesians 4, for the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what leadership has been given to the church for. A man that is a pastor is a fool to tear down the church of God. I talked to you last time about being mean. It's not of the Lord to be mean, but it is of the Lord to be truthful with a hope and a desire for obedience and following the Lord and right good things. In Ephesians chapter 4, also in verse number 29, let's read what the scripture says there. Let no corrupt communication, spoke about that in regards to the Lord's name. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, Ephesians 4:29, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Edification. Building up. And so the Lord has given these spiritual gifts, as working in his children, working in his children in his church, for profit, for blessing, for edification, building up, if you will, even increase in the body and the child of God. I mentioned my title for this chapter is How to Live Spiritually, or Availing Ourselves of the Spirit of God Within. Do you seek these things consciously and with premeditation, seek and desire these things? We should. We are to be doing so. See, there's a lot about this life, indeed, that's carnal, right? Your hands on the stuff, walking around on this dirt ball, doing the things that we do. But I tell you what, this isn't going to last forever. And we've got to use it right. We've got to do well. And we need to take and use these things of the world, not abusing them, but using them for the honor and glory of the Lord. Rearing of our children, washing our car, being a good steward, opening our mouths and being a witness to those round about us. What's it say here in 1 Corinthians 12? Verse number 8, because to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit working. Well, why didn't he give me the word of wisdom? That's the Lord's business. Now, you know what? He might impart that through that other brother or sister as they exercise their gift. So the thing is not to be grown up spiritually, is not to be jealous, but to be thankful always one for another. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord when I, the pastor, can learn something from my brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. And I tell you what, I'm not ashamed to say that some of the ladies in our church have taught me some things from the Word of God. Now, they didn't do by holding a service and holding a class that I was subject to. That's out of order. But in our conversation, or in something that they found in the Word of God, or a discussion that we had, or something, I've been taught. I've learned from my brethren. I've learned from those younger than me. You know, but if I'm not spiritual, I'll get rubbed when somebody younger than me comes up with something that I haven't seen in the Word of God. That is not of the Lord. Or a sister in Christ would have an understanding or a point or an application about the Word of God. And I'm not talking about out of order in the services of the Lord, but to have understanding and wisdom about how the Scripture would apply to a situation or something going on. Praise the Lord for it. We've got some of our brethren that would buck at that. But I tell you what, reading this is what it says. So, one is given the word of wisdom. One is given the word of knowledge to profit withal. The same Spirit at work. Verse 9, to another faith. Isn't that interesting? To another faith by the same Spirit. You know, when I'm saying, I don't know what I'm going to do, and it's all falling apart, and it's just like, what are we going to do? That can happen to the child of God. You know, a brother or sister can come up and say, we're praying for it. We know the Lord can work it. And they can remind me of the thing that is true indeed, having faith that the Lord will work it out. When I'm a basket case, isn't that interesting that faith is mentioned there? That's not talking about salvation of the soul, but it's talking about the faith that we need to go on and live day to day and walking with our Lord. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, granted, in this day, there may have been those yet, maybe those associated with the ministries of the apostles that could have laid their hands on somebody and they'd be healed. But they are no more. That line of those men just beyond the apostles was the end of that. But you know what? We've got some ladies in the church. I think I said that here recently. We got some ladies in the church. You let a child get a fever or start getting something going on, they know exactly what to do. They know how to minister to them. Or they've been down the road with a particular ailment or a particular thing going on. We might say, I don't have a clue what to do. But they know what to do. They know what to do to make comfortable. They know what to do to do the best that we can. And you know what? They know even to pray that the Lord would get in the middle of the thing and grant healing. Different gifts. Different gifts from the Lord. Gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Now we know that that's past. We pray to the Lord for miracles, but we know it's not going to be wrought by anybody. Not going to be wrought by the pastor. It's not going to be wrought by you. There's not going to be a miraculous instant working by the hand of the children of the Lord. That's past. Why? Because we've got the Word of God. But I tell you what, we know our God is the God of miracles, isn't He? We've seen it. We've seen it in our church alone. Not to mention others in other situations that we've seen and known of. Another, the working of miracles, verse 10. Another, prophecy. And again, this of prophecy is not, there's no more telling about the future. We know all about the future right here in this book. All that we need to know is right here. And by the way that we prophesy today is that we reiterate, we tell again the Scripture and the Word of God. To another, discerning of spirits. Now that is still valid today. John said, try them. Because there's all kinds of spirits. I tell you what, there's, well, the demons, the fallen angels with Satan have been at work since that time, since the beginning, for 6,000 years. And they're still just as active as they ever were. We've been blessed in our country not to see it. But I tell you what, that hedge of protection is being drawn down because of the wickedness of our land. And we as a church, and individually, and in our families, we need to be able to discern these spirits that prevail. Because there's a word and a spirit that prevails in so many different facets. See, abortion is a spirit that's at hand. The following after dope and drugs is a spirit that's at hand. This movement in our land of these latest generations to not want to turn a tap to provide for themselves and their own is a spirit that prevails in the land. One can have a discernment of that. Know the Word of God and be able to discern such. Another, divers, different kinds of tongues. I can barely speak English. I used to be able to speak Spanish. I wish I could have hung on to that, but I didn't. I tell you what, there's some people, I'm amazed by people that know 4 languages, 12 languages. Isn't that incredible to know 6 languages? There's some people, the Lord gives that to be able to speak in different languages. In the day, the beginning of the sanctioning of the Lord of His church, and of course it began in the day of His ministry when He was building her, and then He sanctioned her at Pentecost and launched her out, if you will, sent her on her way without His physical presence. On the day of Pentecost, the Lord worked greatly. Those brethren, I believe, were preaching in Aramaic or Hebrew or whatever, and 17 different nations heard them in their native tongue. The Lord's able to do that. It was a thing that was done that way in that time. But we've got brethren that we support that have been blessed to be able to learn languages and dialects in the foreign fields that they've been called to. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. There might be those that can really learn to understand the language but can't necessarily speak it. They can know what's being said and be able to maybe tell you in English or another language that they would know. And the Lord's able to bless with those things even today, but not in that miraculous way that He did like at Pentecost. Why? Because we have the Word of God. summary. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. Our head is at work in the church. And he's equipped and gifted and equipped and gifted and equipped and gifted how he's seen fit to do. And you know what? It's just right. It's just right what we need. Are we pursuing it? Are we taking these gifts and using them for our Lord? Are we seeking to find our place in the church that we might be used of him in the way that he is pleased? But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You've been patient. I want to bring this into it that we might have understanding about what's going on here. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, right here, Olmsted Baptist Church, the body, right? In that we are unified and are one. We individually have been given different gifts by the Lord, by his discernment, by his will, that we individually possess. Things you can do that I can't do. Things maybe that I can do that are not as easy for you to do. However all that is. Some of them he's given to many of us. Other things he's just given to few. That's his working, what he's done. But look at this. We're all together in one body. The one body possesses the gifts. And we are the body of Christ. Now look what the scripture tells us regarding the Lord. In John chapter 3, after the Lord has dealt with Nicodemus and it goes on to speaking about Brother John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus being there, baptizing, and John baptizing, John's disciples getting jealous about more going to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what John says. In verse number 34, what the scripture says, what Brother John the Apostle writes, or what John the Baptist says, verse 34. For he whom God hath sent, Jesus, speaketh the words of God. It's when Jesus speaks, it's like God speaking, because he is God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure, in italics, unto him. Jesus, as a man, has got every whit of the Spirit of God. You read in the book of the Revelation, the seven spirits of God that are there before the throne of God, Jesus has got them. He says so. He tells John so. And so our Lord meets out the spiritual gifts unto us, and we have those individually, but we are using them collectively as his body, as he is. He's got all of the Spirit of God. See, we are made complete in our Lord and complete in the body being fitly joined together. There's not to be a schism. There's not to be a jealousy. But there's to be a profiting with all for all of us, an edification. What is it says in Ephesians? Every joint supplieth the nourishment to the part that they're connected to. It's the design and work of the Lord. At Corinth, I think that there was jealousy and there was strife and envy regarding such. But our Lord has given us what we need. Do you want a gift that you don't have? What do you think? How about praying for it? Maybe if I want to learn how to play the piano, I ought to pursue and try and pray the Lord to help me to do it, as an example. Amen? Is the Lord unable? No. And if it's for his honor and his glory and his edification, it being his will, he well may do that. And then lastly, there's this. In John 3:27, they're talking to John about those going to the Lord Jesus. He's baptizing all and everything. Look what John says. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Those are the gifts I want, as those spiritual gifts from the Lord. Those heavenly directed talents to use for the Lord and his work indeed. And then lastly, in Romans 12, the apostle makes and pleads the folks there at the Church of Rome. He says he beseeches them. They present their bodies a living sacrifice. And it says here in verse number 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me," Romans 12, 3, "to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Do you go around thinking? Do you have thoughts when you're by yourself at home or going around thinking or even get amongst your brothers and sisters in Christ in the church and saying, "I got it together, I wish they did"? You ever think that? I tell you what, that's sorry thinking. That's not a thought of edification. To go around and think highly of ourselves. I tell you what, anything the Lord's given us, we ought to be thankful unto him for it. And asking him how we can take it and use it for the furtherance of his kingdom, for the honor and glorification of him, and for the edifying of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not a rundown, not a way to run down, but a way to build up. Not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He goes on to say here, "For as we being have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace, the favor that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation," some other kind of gifts. We do not need the gift of Molly Grubbs. But we need the gift of encouragement. Amen? "And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth," leadership, "with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness, and not grudgingly. Let love be without faking it, dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good." Okay. Spiritual gifts. Do you have them? Use them. Do you want them? Ask the Lord for it. And know that the Lord has equipped us with such for his honor and his glory and his praise and for the nourishment, the edification of the body of our brothers and sisters for to the honor and glory and praise of our Lord. Ignorance is not bliss. But knowing what the Lord says about spiritual gifts is a good thing. This is a thing for maturing children of God. It takes introspection. It takes seeking the Lord's face. It takes daily evaluation of our lives. And you know what? What I find with my life is I get off on a course and get off on a pursuit of service and things that I ought to do and need to do, and forget about the Lord and forget about growing and forget about worshiping. Connected with the message this morning. Lord willing, we'll continue on. You know what the Greek word for these gifts is? Charisma. That's a subject for another time.